That was lovely singing, and I'm sure we can all see after that song what a faithful God we have. So this is Michelle. Michelle's not Irish, but she's from Kirkconnell, so I hope you can make her out. We'll translate if need be. So Michelle, we're starting off where we finished with a wee verse that was special to Sandra, and we're starting off with a verse that's special to you. Do you want to share that with us, please?
When Yvonne asked me to come and do the conference, it was something that was really my comfort zone, and in my own human terms, I'm supposed to know. But God then reminded me that He gave me a verse in 2020 when I was at Mesa Point and Skye with my husband. And it was in Ephesians, "Rise up, O sleepers, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you." So I went back to my journal to look and see where I could find it. And then it was, and I wrote things down what He spoke to me at that point. And it's about using my adversities in my life and using them for His goodness and His glory. And not to shrink back and think that I'm not good enough to do it, that He'll guide me in whatever I need to speak. And it's only for His goodness and glory that I can stand here today. It's not my own merit. So,
that's good.
Here I am.
And every time you see that verse, it reminds me of another verse. And it's, "Let your light shine, that others may see your good works, and they too may glorify your Father in heaven." And I think by the end of it, you will see Michelle's love for the Lord through what she has to say. So at age 10, your dad left your family unit, which left you, your mum, and your brother, Derek. The three of you were very close, but all three of you had difficulties. Would you like to expand a little of your experiences and your trials in life?
So my dad did leave at age 10, but just before he left, he gave me a Bible, in which I've since then used. But when 2013 came and 2014, Derek and me and my mum were really, really close. And the three of us must be dear, so whatever happens in life, always get it right. Doesn't matter what happens, whether it was big or small, we always got there. But in 2013, my mum was told she might get a double lung transplant, so she's on the list to get an operation. So it was quite scary thinking I might lose it, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And in 2014, my brother suddenly passed away. So my family unit, the 3 years together, was quite broken. I realised I was living in a relationship and a marriage that wasn't healthy, and it was physically and mentally abusive. But I just kept tying it under the carpet because I didn't want to cause conflict. I didn't want my brother in trouble. We arguing or causing any conflict with our families. So when Derek passed away, I was able to come forward and say I didn't want to live with it anymore. It wasn't right. So I went back to see my mum. I felt really broken and no self-worth. I felt really lost. I felt as if I'd lost my identity, who I was. I'm really nervous and really fearful for the future. When I did come home, I wasn't getting peace for the family members, because wherever I was in my workplace or in that area, they were always there targeting me, and I really found it really difficult. But I still had to continue working because I was self-employed, and if I didn't work, I didn't have any money coming in, so I had to just keep focused. My mum had lost my brother, so she was really broken, so I had to be the strong person at the family and my own family to get everything back together. My dad got back involved, which was really difficult, so I had to be my mum's role in getting the funeral things organised and identifying my brother and organising funerals. So I didn't really have time to grieve, but I just got on with it because that's what I did. But then he didn't leave me in that place, he found something new for me to go to.
Okay. So while you were still struggling in your own strength with your trials of between the three of you, you met Ross. He came into your life. He would later become your husband. But Ross, most importantly, introduced you to Christ. How did that come about?
So when I went back home, I just thought I was going to stay with my mum forever, and that was me, quite happy just to stay there, and that was my life. But within a month of being back home, I was out walking my wee dog, and I met this boy, Ross, who I knew from my past as a friend, and he was walking his dad's wee dog. And we started to chat, and he stayed around the corner for me, which I thought was still on the old streets, but here he was in the new street where my mum was as well. He'd been back home as well for different reasons. So we became really friendly, and Ross really helped me be able to grieve about Derek, and he knew Derek, so he could speak about him. I was able to talk about my mum and about the adversity I was having up the road in my workplace and what was going on in my life. So Ross became really friendly, and he really was a comforter to me and made me feel really good when I was with him. So we became really, really friendly, and we started talking about God. And Ross already heard his hand was God already heard Ross in his hand already, but I didn't know that. And we were chatting and stuff, we just wanted to talk about God all the time, and we were together and listened to worship music. He then told me his dad was a pastor in Connor Community Church, so I asked him eventually if he'd take me. So he did take me, and the very first time walking at the church, I've never felt so much peace and comfort and strength and just a belonging. I felt as if I was back home to where I should have been in the first place. And it was just a nice, nice feeling. So I continued to go to church, and I would say to myself, you're not going, I'm still going to go anyway, because I really want to go. So we began to go together. And I felt when the word was getting spoken, like God was always speaking to me, and it was like me all the time he was talking to, just me. But it was nice. I just loved it. I couldn't wait to go every Sunday to find out more about God. But with that, it took me. God took me on a big journey, and it was like the Billy Graham the Cross film. We'd watched it in the church, and it was about the cross and about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. And then I remember in the November time in 2014, I was going along the road coming home from work, and I was listening to Casting Crowns, It's Glorious Days. And it was again, it was about the cross and about Jesus, and I started to cry, and I felt really stupid from the car myself. And I'm thinking how much my mum was suffering losing Derek, how much more did Mary suffer losing her son, which you could see being crucified on the cross. And I felt really emotional about it. When I went home, I was speaking to Ross on the phone, but I didn't say anything because I was too embarrassed. I thought it was silly. But I phoned him back and I said, Ross, I've had a really weird experience, and explained what had happened. And he gave me reassurance because he told me God was just speaking to me and it was alright, not to worry. So I felt better, I didn't feel silly after all. So then, we then just continued to grow together with the Lord, and we grew together in each other as well. We started to really like each other. But the problem was I was still married, and that wasn't right before God. And at the beginning we didn't really notice anything wrong with that. But the more we read God's word and listened to the worship music and listened to the services every Sunday, we were convicted that we were living wrongly. So we decided we'd part and I would go back to my mum's house. So Ross and I both agreed that, because it bothered both of us very much. So Ross said, when the bedroom's ready back at mum's, you've cleaned all the stuff you don't need, just go back to your mum's and we'll see where it takes us. So it ended up, it was Valentine's night, and it was our first Valentine that Ross and I should have been together. But instead of that, I went back to my mum's, and I remember being on top of my bed on my knees praying for the Lord to help me. Because I felt I was back in a broken place and back to the beginning of my journey, and I thought, what is happening? But then I remembered that it was for a good reason this time, and that Ross and I were only sacrificing a small part of our life for Jesus sacrificed his whole life for us. So it was alright. So we did that, and then that same year, things, Ross learned how to pray, because I really struggled. I was still getting a lot of problems in my workplace, like family members coming in, harassing me, and I wasn't getting freedom for that. But when Ross said, like, we can't do it on our own merit, we'll never change this, we'll have to sit down and pray about it, because it's the only thing that's going to move it. So he learned how to pray, and I remember we used to hold hands and pray together. And slowly, I started to see a shift, and things started to get easier. And the things that were bothering me started to get less, and I got strength. And I always remember a verse that, and I still use it still because it's so important and I love it, and it's Philippians 4:13. It's, I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. And I remember getting the shop one day, and I put my mum upset, and I was like, I can't get the shop, there's people in here, they're going to say something to me. And she was like, Michelle, what's the verse? She wasn't a Christian, just a listener, but she knew that the verse and God was helping me have strength. So I went in and I thought, right, I'll keep saying the verse. And I did, and it bothered me. So God was looking after me. Then Ross and I were doing everything we were meant to do for God, because we wanted everything that God had for us, and whatever he had, and he said we wanted to have it. And eventually I got my divorce, and we were away camping, and Ross had got the engagement ring away, and I didn't realise I had it with him. And he asked us to get up early in the morning, and he came through and got me, and he's like, Michelle, can you need to get up? We're going to go and see this outside. And I thought, right, what is it? So I was looking for a seal in the water as you do, at the sea, thinking, oh, this seal's not there, is it? He's like, look in the sand, and I didn't even see it. But he had wrote in the sand, will you marry me? And it was the nicest moment, and like, when we took the picture, I didn't really pay attention to much of what was going on until later on. And we looked back, and I felt so blessed. Like, I know it's wrong to be married and then live with somebody else, and it's not right in the Bible, but God doesn't want you to live a life that's not right either, that's putting you in risk or danger. And it was a cross right where the sun was rising up, and it had a crown at the top, and at the side it would be fishermen and boats. And I felt the Lord was blessing me and Ross and our marriage and our life together. And at the crown at the top, and it's like a crown of righteousness. And the wee fishermen at the side were, I will make you fishermen and men. And I think that's me telling me now, when I look back, I've got a story to tell for other people to find Jesus, because it's not for me to keep. And it's for everybody to have. It's there for us all, because it's for everyone here. So it's just been a beautiful journey, and every single morning you get up, you've got a new adventure to go on with the Lord, and together with Ross, it's great to have it together with the two of us. We have so much to look forward to, and already had, so. And then when you end up getting married, we get engaged, baptised, and married the same year. And we've been so blessed in that, and my life's just good. So, we've just been a beautiful journey together, and I'm looking forward to what else is that the Lord's got for us. So,
that's good. I think you might have answered our last question that... You got more? Our last question is that both believers and unbelievers go through suffering, and we've seen your suffering bring you to Christ. But tell us a little of the hope that the believer has, having Christ in the suffering and in the storm, and how that can make a difference, because you've had both.
So I can only speak for my own self, but before I was a Christian and had a relationship with Jesus Christ, I was always empty and looking for something more in life, but that more in life you can never really get without having the Lord by your side. And when I was broken and in the hard places in life, I always leaned on my mum and Derek, or earthly people, or people in the world, or the world to fix everything, when really the world fades away, and with people and with family members fade away, and you're left empty on your own, and you can't stand on your own merit. But when you have the Lord Jesus Christ with you, He lives inside us, and He gives us the strength and courage for every day. And He never leaves you or forsakes you in your hard times. And He's there with your joy as well. And even in the moments of life, He's always there. And I just feel like I did lose my three units, it's like the 3 years, my mum, Derek and my mum together. But I've got so much more than that. I mean, I've still got three, but it's the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's a triune God. And He'll be with me wherever I go on my journey, and nobody can ever take that away from me. Because I felt in my brokenness, everybody was leaving when I was lost and I was empty. But I'm so fully of Him now that I just want to share it with everybody else. I don't have as much fear, but when I do have my fears and my failures, or when you feel you can't move forward or need strength, you can take your burdens and your worries to the feet of the cross, and Jesus can take them away from those to carry. He can help us overcome all our fears and failures. And that's just a lovely thing to have, because there's so much more hope there for every one of us. Even if I'm not a believer today, I would say put your trust in Jesus, because there is no better place to be than in the loving arms of Him. And I do have a loving mum, and I've got a lovely friendship with my friends. I've got a beautiful family-in-law, and a beautiful godly husband, but there's nothing more that you could get than what Jesus can give you. You can't get that love to anybody else. It just gives you everything you need. And whatever you think you don't have, ask for it. As I said at the beginning, my mum had a mature double lung transplant, and that was really difficult. But when I started to pray and meet with God, He changed that around for the time being. And the doctors even were baffled weight because she now has only had a quarter of her lung removed. She's in no oxygen and her lungs are sustained completely for the time being. So that's only God given, and I pray and I thank God for that. I'm in a new life, a new creation in God, a new identity, and it's just an amazing journey. And I look forward to the future. And God keeps opening doors, and you think there's only other doors to open. He keeps giving you more and more and more. And I think the more you press into Him, the more He gives you back. So He just wants to lavish you with His love. And when there's no hope, there's hope for the future. When you feel hopeless, He gives you hope. When you have no courage, He gives you courage. When you have no strength to move on, He gets up in the morning, gives you a shake and says, come on, you have so much more. Put on the armour of God and go forward. And that's, I just absolutely love my life now, and I just want to thank Jesus for that life. And I thank you, Vaughan, for letting me come here and share, because I really am in my comfort zone. Do you know what? When you're talking about God, it's all right, it's not me. So we can do it.